Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1998. Thinking about a white future.
Hello. Nearly every time I've spoken with you, it has been about the problems our people are facing. A corrupt, treasonous, and degenerate government which seems hell-bent on destroying what's left of our civilization. Our mass media of news and entertainment in the hands of an alien people who use their control over the media to bring about the election of such governments. The mass insanity which, under various names, egalitarianism, feminism, liberalism, leads large segments of our people into unnatural and self-destructive behavior. Sometimes I've talked about historical events, but that's been pretty negative, too. The atrocities committed against our people by the communists before and during the Second World War, and the atrocities we committed against ourselves during and after that war. It's necessary for us to talk about these negative things, because we need to understand our problems before we can hope to solve them. But perhaps today we can be more positive. Perhaps today we can be optimistic and look at what we want our future to be like. Of course, we can't do all of that in one broadcast, but we should be able to explore one or two aspects of the future we'd like to build for our people after we've solved the problems we're facing. One of these problems I've talked about, which we are facing, is non-white immigration, which is changing America's racial complexion. This changing racial complexion is something which Bill Clinton not only recognizes but welcomes. A couple of weeks ago, I discussed his speech on this subject at Portland State University. In fact, the Clinton government and Democrats generally are pushing hard to increase non-white immigration and to avoid any effective measures to stop illegal immigration, which is almost completely non-white, because non-whites nearly all vote Democratic. The Republicans aren't much better. Some of them welcome non-white immigrants as cheap laborers for Republican factory owners and big farmers, and others are afraid to do anything about immigration from fear of being labeled racists by the media. Now, I must admit that I share one thing with Bill Clinton. He wants to change America's racial complexion, and so do I. He wants America's complexion to be darker or more diverse, to use the politically correct term. And I want America's complexion to be lighter, much lighter. Bill Clinton said in his Portland State University speech that anyone who doesn't want America to become darker is un-American. Isn't that something? This jerk who used to organize anti-American demonstrations during the Vietnam War and chant, "Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh, the Viet Cong's gonna win," is now telling us that we're un-American. Hey, I'd like to have that un-American piece of filth tell me that one-on-one without any of his jackbooted Secret Service thugs around. There'd be one less piece of filth to deal with in this country. So, Bill Clinton thinks a white America would be un-American. The Jews who control the mass media certainly agree with him, because they know there would be no room for them in a white America. We made the terrible mistake of letting them in when we had what, for most practical purposes, was a white America in the past, and they immediately set to work to take over our mass media, to corrupt our political system, to corrupt our culture, to corrupt our educational system. After they gained control of the media, they began brainwashing the public with the notion that the worst of all possible sins is to want to keep America white. That is racism, a very, very bad thing, they whispered to us in a thousand subtle ways. And now to want to make America white again is even worse, they and their collaborators like Bill Clinton tell us. It is too late, they tell us. America will become non-white. It is inevitable. You cannot stop it. A non-white America will not be so bad. There will be much more diversity. And as you all know, diversity is a wonderful thing. So don't try to resist us. Just relax and enjoy it. So why do we resist the Jewish plan for America? Why do we refuse to go quietly the way the Clintonistas want us to? Wouldn't it be so much easier just not to struggle, just to relax and let them push our race into oblivion? Yes, but you know, that's the trouble with us white people. We always have struggled. We always have resisted alien domination. We are a race of conquerors, of inventors, of builders, not slaves or couch potatoes. We always have fought for a better future instead of just relaxing and letting other people tell us what was good for us. A very troublesome trait, this determination to be masters of our own destiny, this determination to live in accord with our innate values instead of someone else's, this determination to hang on to our traditions and our lifestyle and to do things our way. This troublesome trait of ours is really a big obstacle to the planners of the New World Order, who want us just to relax and not struggle while they mix us with Haitians and Mexican mestizos and Vietnamese to produce the nice coffee-colored blend preferred by Mr. Clinton, a blend without racist traditions or racist habits or racist ambitions to shape our own destiny. So why do we not want to be blended? Why do we insist on remaining a race of conquerors, inventors and builders, a race of explorers, a race of poets, philosophers and dreamers, a proud race, an independent race, a race with our own traditions instead of the agreeable, placid race of coffee-colored consumers and couch potatoes those nice Jews in the media and those nice politicians in Washington want us to be? And I guess that the best answer to that question is that that's just the way we are. That's our God-given nature, and we want to keep it. In fact, we are determined to keep it, and by God, we'll send all of those who try to take it away from us straight to hell. The white future that I dream about, the white America that I want for my people, is not an America of brainwashed couch potatoes and trendy consumers. Not an America of feminists and homosexuals and Democrats and hymn-singing boobs who take their theology from their television receivers. My white America is an America of proud, independent men, manly men and feminine women. It is an America based on our history and our traditions and our ways. History and traditions and ways we brought here from Europe. It will be an America governed by our values and our standards of behavior, our standards of performance, our standards of quality, our standards of beauty. It will be an America where little white boys and little white girls go to white schools and learn how to be proud and productive white men and women. It will be an America where there are no advertisers trying to push racial mixing by putting a few black and mestizo and Asian faces into every group illustration. Advertisers who like to pair off white girls with black boys in their ads. It will be an America without drugs and without rap music and without the dark faces and alien sounds which pervade our cities today. Can you imagine such an America? We used to have a white America back before the Second World War. Ask your parents or your grandparents about it. Go to the library and look at some of the old magazines published back in the 1920s and 1930s. Look at the advertisements in these old magazines and compare them with the advertisements produced today. I have a painting from about 1890 of ice skaters in Central Park, New York. Men, women, and children gliding across the ice in a wintry landscape. Some of the faces are smiling or laughing. Some are sober, but they're all white. Yes, even New York City was once white. Los Angeles was white, except for its Chinatown. Look at the 19th century paintings. Look at the photographs taken before the Second World War of scenes on university campuses, of street scenes in American cities, of sports events, of outdoor recreation. The people are all white. That's hard to imagine today, isn't it? But 75 years ago, one could walk through downtown Los Angeles or New York and hardly ever see a non-white face. Of course, in a white America, we still will have problems to overcome. That's what life is all about, overcoming problems. We still will have a certain amount of crime, even without non-whites, who commit the majority of the crimes of violence and vice in America today. Although our streets and homes will be much, much safer than they are today, we still will have criminals. But we will know how to deal with our criminals. In this regard, let me recite for you a little poem written by one of the truly great English poets, Rudyard Kipling. It is a poem you won't find in any of the politically correct anthologies approved for use in our schools today. It was written in a saner, prouder, whiter, less Jewish time, a much less hypocritical time. It is titled, The Stranger. Kipling wrote, "The stranger within my gate, he may be true or kind, but he does not talk my talk. I cannot feel his mind. I see the face and the eyes and the mouth, but not the soul behind. The men of my own stock, they may do ill or well, but they tell the lies I am wanted to. They are used to the lies I tell, and we do not need interpreters when we go to buy and sell. The stranger within my gates, he may be evil or good, but I cannot tell what powers control, what reasons sway his mood, nor when the gods of his far-off land shall repossess his blood. The men of my own stock, bitter bad they may be, but at least they hear the things I hear and see the things I see. And whatever I think of them and their likes, they think of the likes of me. This was my father's belief, and this is also mine. Let the corn be all one sheaf, and the grapes be all one vine, ere our children's teeth are set on edge by bitter bread and wine." That was Rudyard Kipling's view of things a century ago, and it also was the view of most of our people in a time before they had been deceived and led astray by the alien masters of the mass media. A feeling of community, a feeling of family, a feeling of common blood and common soul and common history and common destiny. That is what it takes to make a viable nation. And that is what we must have again if America is to survive. A white future for white America. You know, that is much more than a material thing. It is much more than safe and orderly schools with higher performance standards. It is much more than safe streets and clean cities and a lower crime rate. It is much more than a huge reduction in taxes for the support of welfare queens and their swarms of pickaninnies. It is much more than a more efficient and productive workforce and an end to the injustice of affirmative action. It is more than all of these things. It is a spiritual thing, this feeling that one's neighbors are one's kin, this looking on white faces and feeling a genuine sense of brotherhood that rises from the heart, not the strained sense that one ought to feel brotherly when one looks on alien faces, this feeling of sharing in their joy when one looks on a young white couple in love, not the sense of obligation to give a politically correct smile when one passes a racially mixed couple and tries unsuccessfully to suppress the rage in one's heart. There are young people growing up today who have never known what it means to live in a white country, who have never known the feeling of racial community which one can feel in a white environment and which Americans used to take for granted. They have been robbed of this knowledge by the people who, for their own selfish purposes, have taken over our mass media and swamped us with their poisonous propaganda of rootlessness and cosmopolitanism and the wonders of the melting pot, and by the politicians who have implemented their destructive racial policies, policies which have darkened America so noticeably during the past 50 years. You know, my dream of a white America is not nostalgia. I know that we can never return to the past. But I also know that if we are ever to move forward again, we have to get rid of this racial mess which has engulfed America. I know that no multiracial society can be a healthy or stable society. Some people who agree with me that the present racial situation is untenable and can only become worse under the government's present policies, nevertheless cannot conceive of rectifying the situation. They believe that once a country has been integrated racially, it cannot be unintegrated. But it can be, although the process of unintegration is likely to be an extraordinarily painful and bloody process. It is likely to require a civil war much worse than the one we went through in the last century. Much worse. It certainly will disrupt the lives of everyone involved. The soft couch potatoes and the trendy consumers would much prefer to avoid the disruption so that they can continue their TV viewing and their consuming. Even people made of somewhat sterner stuff are horrified by the prospect of straightening out our racial situation. But we must do it. We must plan for it. We must not refuse to think about it just because it will be so difficult and so unpleasant. We are in our present mess because we failed to act when action would have been far less painful. In these uncertain times in which we live, there is one thing of which we can be certain, and that is the Jews and their collaborators in the government, the media, the schools, and the churches will cling to the death to their plan for the destruction of our people through miscegenation. They have a tiger by the tail, and they know that they must not let go. And so conditions in America will continue to grow worse and worse as the enemies of our people continue desperately to push us to the point of no return. Our schools and our cities will become more jungle-like. Our popular culture will become more alien, more debased, more Negroid and more Mexican and more Asian. The behavior of our politicians and our sports and entertainment stars will become more animalistic. Our government will become even more corrupt. and white Americans will run out of suburbs to which they can flee. And when they no longer can evade the situation, when they no longer can ignore it, when they no longer can parrot the politically correct lies about race without any danger of being contradicted by reality, then more and more white Americans finally must make decisions about the future they don't want to think about now. And we know that many of them will just wring their hands and cry in womanish despair, "Oh, why can't the races get along with each other? Why can't there be peace and cooperation between the races so that I can continue to consume in comfort and safety and political correctness? Oh, why must I deal with this difficult and unpleasant problem of race?" And we know that more of the weakest and most degraded of our people, the most corrupt and selfish of our people, will join our enemies in the hope of temporarily improving their own personal situations. But we also know that many others, when there no longer is a safe suburb to which they can flee, finally will be ready to stand and fight. And my message to these last is this: don't wait until the last minute to make your decision. Much better to make it sooner than later. My message is, don't fall for the defeatist lie that we cannot unintegrate America because it will be too difficult and too violent and too painful. Don't refuse to think about the grim and bloody remedy of a civil war because the alternative is far grimmer and far bloodier. The fate that Mr. Clinton and the Jewish media bosses have planned for us is infinitely worse than any civil war could possibly be. Civil war is thinkable. Civil war is plannable when the alternative is extinction. Be a man and face reality and steel yourself to do whatever must be done to undo the damage that our enemies have done to us so that our people will have a future. Thanks for being with me again today.